Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
You're listening to Stagecraft, Variety's theater podcast, bringing you in-depth interviews with the stars and creators of the biggest shows on Broadway, off-Broadway, and beyond. I'm your host, Variety's theater editor, Gordon Cox. On this episode of Stagecraft, I'm talking to the Tony-nominated actors Lauren Ambrose and Harry Haddon Payton, the stars of My Fair Lady. Lincoln Center Theater's Broadway revival opened April 19th to critical raves, and last week the production was nominated for 10 Tony Awards, including Best Musical Revival, Best Lead Acting nominations for Ambrose and Haddon Payton. Ambrose memorably played daughter Claire in HBO series 6 Feet Under, and Haddon Payton is an English actor you're most likely to recognize from his role on Downton Abbey. They're both here in the studio with me to talk about the rain in Spain, the hurricanes that hardly happen, the challenges of recalibrating a classic musical for the Time's Up era, and getting those accents just right. Lauren and Harry, thanks for being here.
Pleasure.
So the musical My Fair Lady stands as one of the most celebrated titles in the musical theater canon, right? Many people think of it as kind of the pinnacle of the Broadway Golden Age. How well did each of you know the musical going into it? And do you have any, did you have any like sort of childhood associations with it growing up? Or was it a touchstone for you or not so much?
We had the record in our house. My dad would sing Get Me to the Church on Time all of the time.
Yeah, I think I knew the songs. Just I didn't have the record. I saw an all-girl production. Aww. At a girls' school.
What was the impression you took away from that?
I was just looking at the girls. But they, I can't really remember much. I was too nervous. But, I'd seen the film.
I guess I'd seen the film. One of my dear friends played Eliza in a high school production in Maine, and we, like, made a pilgrimage to go camp, so we like friends of mine, we went and made a pilgrimage to see her in it. She was amazing when she was like 16.
Right. So it's not something either of you knew intimately going into this.
No, I'd read the play as well.
I read the play. I knew the songs.
Right.
Yeah. I had to sing I Could Have Danced All Night at auditions.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy singing it now?
I do. It's a little tricky because it's after I've gone through a marathon on stage of quick changes.
Sure.
and Rain in Spain, and then I'm going up and down a like 100-foot spiral staircase during the song.
So that's
a little
definitely
bit like,
true.
Yeah, so it's a little bit like it's a gauntlet.
Yeah,
but
I enjoy listening to it.
Thank you, Harry. Harry gives me a high five every night.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
Because they're all going on for Ask It, and I'm going into my emergency quick change ambulance to.
Yeah. And now we've started that. I have to do it every night.
Sorry.
I think you'd miss me if I wasn't there.
I know.
Did I do it wrong?
We have to send Laura out.
Yeah. Can you just. Someone else go and high five it?
And so, Lauren, you've wanted to be in a musical for a while now. What's behind that? Why the interest?
Oh, well, I don't know. I've just always sung.
Yeah.
And
it would be a waste of your huge talent.
We should say that you were on Star Search when you were younger. we should mention just
can
so
you
they
explain
know.
To but, me what that
and
is?
Also, we can say that that you had a band. Are you still in your? Is how's that band? Going
so
now?
It was a band of friends, and I got jobs, and people moved away, and so we just didn't. And people started doing other stuff, but yeah. So that
we were
not
drums?
Doing anything. I'm singing. Okay. It was like a gypsy jazzy
cool.
kind of a vibe.
All this an illustration of your point that you've been singing all your life, right?
So, yeah.
And what was it about particularly being in a musical on stage that really appealed to you?
Yeah, just doing something I've never done before.
Yeah.
You know, I really like as an actor to do things that scare me and do things that I haven't tried before. This is on the list, and yeah, I obviously just wanted to try using my singing voice as another tool for acting, and just always I've always been looking for something to to sing in over the years, and
right,
you know, for various reasons, things have not happened.
Right, there was almost a production of Funny Girl, and there was
have been other things over the years.
Of course,
too,
I'm sure.
And 6 Feet Under, they would write little musical moments for me to sing every once in a while.
But at 6 Feet after 6 Feet Under, it seemed like you almost rushed back to the stage. Like, one of the first things you did right after that was Awake and Sing. Was that... Were you anxious in particular to get back to theater?
Yes, very much, yeah.
And that was directed by Bartlett Sher, who directed this production of My Fair Lady. Is that where you first met him and worked with him? And
It was a production of Awake and Sing, and we did it at the Belasco Theater, where the group theater's first hit, Clifford Odets play.
Yeah. And also produced by Lincoln Center, actually, we should
also
say.
Also produced at Lincoln Center, but we did it at the Belasco, is where they originally did it. And, and we did it in the exact footprint, and it was Michael Jurgen again, and he used the exact footprint of the set on the stage that they used initially. And it's very, very cool. And then he eventually had the walls fly out by the end of the third act.
It was very poetic by the end of it. Yeah, yeah, I saw that production.
Also a long one. Two intermissions.
Yes. Not as long as The Iceman Cometh, which I saw last night, but also two intermissions.
Okay.
It's a long one.
Yeah. And then, so, Lauren, when this came along, how did you prepare for the audition? And what went into sort of you preparing for getting this part?
I emailed Bart and I asked him if I could audition, and I said, you know, could I come and audition for this? And he was like, all right. And then
it's a very good impression.
Yeah. And I guess. And
there's a lot of visual stuff going on here that listeners cannot see, alas, but it's entertaining.
And they sent me a packet of like 1,000 pages to learn, and it was basically, I don't know, scene upon scene and song after song, and I worked hard at it and went in and sang, and there was very old-fashioned, there was a nice long line of musical theater auditioners, and we were all there, and
then you got the part.
You blew them away.
I got the part. I don't know about that, Harry, but I got the part.
Well, you got the
they
part.
Told me you blew them away.
And so how did this project get to you, Harry?
An audition. Similar. I didn't know Bart or his work, really. And I had an audition in London. I think we have a mutual friend who put in a good word.
Got it. Right.
Thank God.
Yeah. Yeah. And this mutual friend had seen me do workshops of musicals in London. And it had been something that I wanted to do.
A musical?
Yeah.
And have you ever done a full musical before?
No, not professionally.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I used to sing in choirs.
Right.
When I was a little boy.
Which already makes you more of a singer than Rex Harrison, right? Like, that,
I don't know. Apparently, he's very musical, is what I've learned. So, but my challenge was singing in Latin for years. My wife laughs at me because I can never remember the words to songs because I'm just thinking about the melody or the harmony because I was always like an alto. So that's been my challenge, is to actually remember words, lyrics to songs. And I had an amazing singing teacher.
But you had to remember them in Latin. And that was easy.
I couldn't get away with holding the book.
No, I see your point. I see your point. Yes, yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah. So it was auditions and a recall in New York. And
Right.
Similar.
Now you know all the words.
Occasionally. I know them all.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get them
sometimes
all out.
Sometimes you sing
in the
them.
Right order. Yeah. Yeah.
And you've done theater previously in the UK, and you've done work at TV, a lot of TV work in the UK. A lot of people will know you from Downton Abbey and The Crown here, particularly in the US. How are you finding the Broadway community and working in the Broadway community as compared to working on stage in the UK?
I have to be tricky. I have to be careful with this because I don't want to never work in London again. But it is, it's amazingly supportive. And it seems to be the whole city, not just our building, which we feel very lucky to be in, but everyone is supporting the show. And you walk in the doors of the Lincoln Center Theatre and there are hundreds of people who have the same goal, which is to create something and be supportive in that environment, and it's amazingly collaborative and exciting. It's wonderful.
Right. Has Broadway changed much since you were last on it, Lauren? You've been on Broadway a couple of times in a couple of shows. Do you notice any differences?
In Times Square? Was that like...
Yeah,
it was Exit the King,
the difference? I'm interested in the difference between
the location. Yeah.
I feel very grateful to be where we are. I mean, it's a busy part of town, and it's very luxurious to have the space and the plaza and the grandness of Lincoln Center receiving us daily.
Yeah. And so My Fair Lady, this Lincoln Center revival of My Fair Lady, has been in the works for a while now, and there was no way anyone could sort of anticipate what has happened in the interim in terms of Me Too and Time's Up. And I know that everyone involved in the production thought long and hard about how this musical, which is about a man who molds a woman into what society considers, mostly male society considers, sort of a proper lady, that there was a lot of thought about how that can and should play now and be revived in sort of the here and now. I imagine that you two, as the two lead actors, must have been a big part of that conversation as you were rehearsing that. Did you find that?
Yeah, I think there was a conversation that happened before we were even involved, which was about the casting of it.
Sure.
That we were equals. And that's why I guess I was cast rather than an older man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's certainly been something we've been thinking about.
And the
concept that he molds this younger woman, she searches him out. She remembers where he lives, and she, you know,
turns,
I guess,
up at his
she turns
apartment.
Up at his house wanting to better herself.
That is true, and that is not a thing that I recalled.
Well, I know. Right? I actually found it really interesting that you described it that way, because I often say exactly that. Like, people think of it as a story of a man who decides to take this woman and turn her into something. Right. But really, what's very striking to me in the reading of it and in the playing of it nightly is that she hears this man speaking in a way that she's never heard anyone speak before about language and about equality and about
and she senses an opportunity, doesn't she?
Seizes an opportunity and very bravely shows up at his house the next day with the coins that she's gotten and says, well, with this money, what can I do? I'm going to try to better my... She's ambitious. She wants to change her life. How can I change my life with what I'm holding in my hand, this money that's presented this opportunity to her? And so, I don't know, it's very moving to me that she shows up and says, I want lessons. I want to... What can I become? I want to be a lady in a flower shop. And that starts the whole trajectory of the thing. That inspires the idea about the bet, and on it goes.
Right.
And what's interesting is it's all in the text.
We're not doing
a crazy new version of it. We are serving the text in a way that makes me question whether people served it properly
in the past.
Right. And it's easy to believe because Shaw was so ahead of his time.
Well, I was just going to say Shaw is... It does not seem like a stretch to feel like Shaw was on the right side of the argument there.
He was a socialist, Fabian, and therefore as much of a feminist as, you know, we can say. And he obviously has written incredibly strong female characters in his canon, and she's one of them. And she's and so as much as it's a story about gender, it's also a story about class and equality. You know, inequality between the classes. What could make that more possible? And that was his
and
thesis.
He's sending up class, isn't he? He sees it for what it is, which is like this ethereal, weird sort of pigeonholing system. And then
of course once she becomes a lady, now she's really in a pickle, because now where does she fit in? She was actually freer as well as her father, inherits the money. She's freer as a flower girl who's in charge of her own life and can do what she wants with the manners of and veneer of a fancy lady, because her options become limited.
And I think that's where this play becomes something lasting and amazing, is that it doesn't just follow the simple thread of bettering herself. Yay, she's done it.
It doesn't end at the ball.
It doesn't end at the ball.
Right.
It's
right.
not the story of the princess who, you know, the transformation.
Like Greece.
Right.
Right.
Right? It doesn't just, she's right. in leathers and woo, party.
Right.
And
then, then they get in a car and it flies away.
It's not, but, it's not, no, it goes in, it goes much deeper, and I think that's what makes it so special.
And her transformation, and his transformation also, obviously always thinking about her, but, and Henry's transformation really begin in Act Two when they have to consider each other, and they have to consider, okay, well, now what? Now come the difficult questions. And all of a sudden, as we learned in the rehearsals, it's like a different play in Act Two.
Yeah.
It's a different piece. It's a different tone. It's much harder work. But that's where the real transformation comes about, as far as, I mean, as far as I feel, and in the playing of it, that, you know, that's when she has to dig deep and find her agency and strength, and that's when she becomes a lady for real in her bones.
Right.
And having, you know, what does she have to shed to, what kind of way of thinking or way of holding herself in his gaze, like, does she have to shed to become a
right. And how do you think that, sorry, and how do you both think that resonates with the conversation that's happening right now, just sort of about Time's Up and Me Too and all of that? What is it, what is this spark in that conversation for you?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a nice, it's perfect timing, and to have this kind of a discussion, and in the safe and appropriate place of the theater, to have this discussion, to see where we've come from, and to also hear Shaw's, you know, innately feminist ideas from 1911 coming through this, even in this antique material. I don't know.
What are you finding that audiences really respond to?
They seem to be enjoying it. And they seem to be leaving the theater asking a lot of questions.
It's complicated.
Which is great.
Right.
So they are, and that's the joy of doing a revival, is like I said, we're just serving the text, really. Truthfully, maybe with slightly more modern sensibilities, but we are serving the text. And it just happens to be a different context in which we're doing it. So if it's making people question their behavior or their past behavior, whatever, then it's great.
Right, right.
And what also what they thought the play was.
And what they're rooting for.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think is also interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about accents. This show is all about them. And changing your status by changing the way you speak. Harry, I feel like you have something of a leg up because you are actually English yourself.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
I mean, I should be doing these with more of a London accent, shouldn't I, to sort of show them a better actor
than
I am.
Yeah, you should do.
Right,
yeah, like
do
Ray
like
Winston.
And so,
yeah.
go on.
Yeah, can you do a bit?
Right. You got me now.
Wait, is the excellent.
Danny Dyer.
You know Danny. All right, yeah. Come on in. What's the question?
Do you speak on stage with the accent that you spend most of your time speaking in?
It probably doesn't sound that different, but some thought has gone into it. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's heightened. Like I there are different a few words I have to pronounce differently, and I have to be very
like what?
Just
room.
I'm not very good at just. Just I always say just or but. But instead of but.
Okay.
And I don't usually hit the T's at the end of my words very well.
Right, right.
Don't you. Things like, really, right. it's actually right. small details,
right.
but they
yeah.
make a difference because he's a professor of
sure.
languages. So he cares probably more than I do
right.
about it. But, yeah.
Right. And so, Lauren, this seems like hard work for you, getting that right.
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
So, tell me about that. Like, how did it...
No,
how,
it's okay. It's great
how,
fun.
Yeah, how do you... How'd you get your mouth around all that? Like, there's...
Like, hard work.
It's not only... Like, you have to master two separate accents and then the transition between those accents. I just
yes.
feel like that's...
Well, I have the good fortune to be surrounded by Alan.
It's
and
a phenomenal
Harry.
Amount of hard work and mm-hmm. preparation.
Thanks, Harry.
And it's amazing to watch, honestly. Well done.
Harry keeps me honest and tells me. I told him he has full
there
was permission to tell me when I'm blowing it.
Yeah.
Even
which
just
doesn't
on,
happen anymore.
Even just on little syllables. So he's my.
It's in the detail.
Police.
But you, yeah.
Did you have any advice for her, Harry, as in terms of getting the accent? Like, is there such a thing
probably
as giving
much,
an accent?
Like. No, you just told me, we just talked about sounds.
I made myself available.
Yes, I would go running to him and say this, say that.
Try like this, try like this, yeah. But honestly, you got a lot of it. And Liz Smith, our dialect coach.
Yes,
Liz Smith is amazing.
Who is a Brit, but has lived out here for ages,
right.
is amazing.
Yes.
And had lots
so
of notes
helpful.
For me as well, like stuff I didn't know I was getting wrong.
Right.
I'd get postcards of stuff all the time.
Yes, her attention to detail.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing, and I'm so grateful for her.
Was there a secret to getting it, or like, was there a moment where you're like, aha, I think I've got it? To quote your.
By George, she's
yeah.
got it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, there's not a secret.
Did you use anyone in particular listening to?
Adele.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, all right.
Listening, watching EastEnders.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Uh-huh.
Enders. Danny Dyer's on EastEnders
Danny
now.
Danny Dyer.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's come back in the room.
Danny Dyer, he's like our patron saint of this podcast. Having a slack jaw, loose jaw in the Cockney, and a tighter lip in the more...
Lip spread.
Lip spread.
Oh, beg your pardon.
Sort of tighten the corners of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And Lauren, which do you gravitate toward more? Is there an Eliza accent that you feel is more you?
Well, the posh is easier to do. The other is guttural and... more mouth work, literally. Literally, with the posh accent, you don't move your face.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So
right.
It's just calmer. But it takes a more liveliness of breath to sort of send it out
mm-hmm.
to the world.
Right. Yeah, the both of you were talking a little bit earlier before we turned the mic on about some physical therapy that gets mm-hmm. done with your jaw. Tell us a little bit about that and what it... Is it about? It's about tension in your jaw that I imagine has to do with focusing.
I had no idea.
So
I didn't know what PT was.
Oh.
I thought it was like personal trainer.
Yes, it's also that.
So I thought, what? I am knackered. I am not having someone telling me to do star jumps. But it is. Natalie is amazing.
Natalie,
and now it is integral a part of the show as anything is
I think it's
sorting us out.
More to do with doing it. 8 times a week and
yeah.
okay. twice sometimes
yeah.
in a day, and it's
right.
a 3-hour show. And
did we mention the spiral staircase?
There's
the
also
the
a giant
spiral.
And actually, in yeah. general, that stage is enormous, and just walking across it takes
like,
some.
I'd love someone to count how many times I go up and down that.
Yeah.
Just phone in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us, because I need work on that. Digging in. And the jaw is, it gets very tight. Mm-hmm. And as we get into the latter stages of the play, it all gets quite emotional.
We all get emotional and upset.
We all get a bit stressed out.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's like my voice gets tired because of all the muscularity, and it's not even the singing as much as the talking of the
yeah.
more emotional scenes and the Cockney, which I'm not used to.
Yeah.
So she comes in and like untangles the necklace.
Mm.
But after a performance comes down, is it like
she
after
comes,
curtains?
Like, twice
right
yeah,
after?
She
oh,
she
before.
Twice
okay,
a week.
Got it.
Twice a week.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, because we hold a lot of tension in your shoulders and in your jaw. I made a silly choice in the rehearsal room to growl quite a lot.
Whoops.
Which you are regretting?
Which, now I'm just working out how to do it without doing that.
Right.
Because it's hard to sustain. Yeah.
Right.
I made a silly choice in the rehearsal room, too.
She's hunching and curling up her shoulders.
I don't even know how to not do it, though, in playing Eliza, because...
It's great.
I feel
it makes
like
the transformation
she has
even...
to then, like...
Yeah. But that probably plays hell with your shoulders and your back.
After.
And yeah.
Doing
right.
it for a long time.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you guys are in this at the moment. What's next for you both? Do you know what's on your plate next?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
This is our life for the end.
Always available. Yeah. Always. Yeah. Always available.
Anyone listening?
I like New York, by the way.
Aww. Lauren, would you want to do another musical?
Well, yeah, sure. I don't know. It depends on what it is.
Yeah. Do you have a, like, oh, I've always wanted to be in blank musical. Grease,
this,
for
was
instance.
This one.
Yeah.
This one.
It was that one.
They used to say this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Done.
That's so cool.
That's so cool.
It's I'm very honored that I get to tell this story of this woman in this massive transformation in her life, the most important transformation in her life, every night, and tell the story. And in this lifetime for me, you know, I can't believe it. Sometimes, you know, there's so many great parts, and there's so many parts I'd love to play, but I can't do them all. And I'm tickled that this one worked out.
Yeah. And Harry, are you interested in doing another musical sometime?
Yeah, sure. I just keep myself open. I never know what I wanted. Like this, I was not on my radar for at least 20 years. I literally didn't think it was possible. I tried to.
When you say this, you mean
this
musical
part.
Theater? Oh, okay.
No, this part.
Okay.
I tried to turn it down, but because I thought I'm just going to work hard and not get it, so it'll just be heartbreak. So I honestly didn't think it was a possibility. So the lesson is to just stay open and see what comes.
Great. Well, I look forward to seeing what comes from both of you, both on stage and on screen. Thank you both.
Thanks
for being here.
Thanks.
Yeah, nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
That was Lauren Ambrose and Harry Haddon Payton, now starring in the Tony-nominated Broadway revival of My Fair Lady. On the next episode of Stagecraft, I'll talk to LaShans, the Tony-nominated star of the Donna Summer musical, Summer. Until then, see you at the theater.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.